Matthew chapter 9. Come on, let's go there. This message tonight is titled, Faith Goes For It. Faith Goes For It. And Matthew chapter 9, we started last week, and this is actually, this series started 32 plus weeks ago. This is number 32 in this series on healing examples. And this is about the two blind men, and we started, and they're no longer blind, okay? They were at the start of this story, but they both received their healing, and we're going to talk about that tonight again. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 27. It reads this way, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, or yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Some have asked me about that before, and I really think that when Jesus said, don't be telling everybody, it's just because word was spreading so fast, and it was very difficult to even travel with a group of people, not just a little group, a bunch of people thronging him, nearly suffocating him. One version said there when the woman with the issue of blood approached him. There were so many people around him. I don't think we have the proper picture of that whole thing. So Jesus is saying, just, you know, don't go back to your house. And we see that on occasion in different places in the Word where he told somebody to go back, and then they started telling folks, and before you know it, he's got a bigger crowd. And did he not want people to know? Yes, he did. But it was just the logistics involved in getting from point A to point B. They're going to get there anyway. But they were coming much earlier when people were spreading it abroad that, hey, and before he could get out of town, they're around him, and it made the travel, I would assume, very difficult. So look at verse 28 back up there. And when he was come nigh into the house, or when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Notice that. The blind men came to him. I think it's really interesting that these guys, they're blind, and they find Jesus, and they go into the house where Jesus is at. Interesting. They had to have been, you know, stumbling about. Now, I suppose people that can't see have a heightened sense of hearing, and they can sense things around them, and they have some of the other senses more highly developed because of the lack of sight. But at the same time, it was not an easy thing in those days. And you know good and well that there were not always the best people around them, around these two guys. And that they're out trying to traverse, and someone comes up, some smart aleck, and trips them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because he couldn't see it. And, that's, of course, very cruel. But yet we have to kind of look in at this story and think of how much trouble they actually had getting to him. But they would not be deterred. Now, look at the part B of that verse. Jesus said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Now, let me ask you a question. Do you suppose that it was necessary that Jesus asked that question? Do you suppose it was necessary that he asked the question? Do you believe that I can do this for you? You know, why didn't Jesus just step up and heal him? Why didn't Jesus just do it? I mean, you're God in the flesh. We know that. He's deity in the flesh. Why didn't he just heal him? And a lot of people think that Jesus went about healing as God. Now, he was God in the flesh, but what do we know what the scriptures say? That the scriptures say that Jesus set aside his deity, set aside the privileges of being God in the flesh. He never stopped being God in the flesh, but he laid aside the privileges. And he did that for a reason. He did it so that he could identify with mankind and walk. He came and walked as a man. He was a man. Jesus was born of Mary, a virgin, correct? Born from on high, of course. Conception took place. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she conceived. An interesting thing about the child that when Jesus was formed in Mary's womb, Mary's blood never mingled with Jesus' blood. Jesus did not have that sinful nature. He wasn't born with the sinful nature like you and I have been. His father was God. Our father in this life, when we're born, was Adam. That's where we started, back way back there, man, right? Jesus was conceived from on high. He was born of a woman, but he was conceived from heaven, God himself, Jehovah, the only word in Hebrew that is both equally masculine and feminine. Somebody said, yeah, but it was Mary's egg. No, I don't buy that. I don't buy it for a minute. The seed and the egg were implanted into Mary, and she became a holding place for God to be born in the flesh. Now, it was done supernaturally, but there is no mingling of the nature, no mingling of the blood. When Jesus was born, he was born with the nature of his father. And who was his mother? Well, somebody said, well, now, well, that Mary was the mother of God. And that's why a lot of people have tried to put Mary on the same level as Jesus, his mother, or on the same level as his father. But El Shaddai in Hebrew, El Shaddai, you ever hear of that? Remember that song? El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Okay. It's El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? Some of you remember this. Okay, the breasty one. Oh. You're going to tell me that the Lord is female? Let me tell you this. In the Lord, there's neither male nor female. And God is complete. That's why when a man and a woman are married and they do this thing the way we're going to be talking about, but when they're married and they function as a couple and function as one, it's a picture of heaven here when a couple functions the way they're supposed to. But so El Shaddai is, I mean, God came up with what you mamas feel toward your children. That's God. Sometimes people go, well, you know, that's the mother, and mothers, you know, that's a separate thing. Now, hold it a second. Where did you get the mothering ability that you have? That came from El Shaddai. I'll tell you right now it did. Where do we get the protectiveness that we have as fathers, dads? Well, that came from our Father God, sure. I mean, don't ever start trying to split hairs and say, well, a mother is, you know, she got that on her own. No, 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 that came from God. The Lord is that compassionate. People have a tendency to try to separate that and say, you know, if any guy is compassionate, you're kind of like a woman, aren't you? Well, I mean, we don't want to walk around with skirts on, okay, right? So I'm not going to do that on Monday night. Thank you, yes, amen. I'd have to shave my legs, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, ladies, what you feel in your heart towards your children and that protectiveness that you have and that nurturing, that mothering way, that's from God. And don't ever, the other part of this is don't think that the emotions that you have that many times are viewed as, you know, well, where'd that all come from? Why is she so emotional? God gives us emotions. He's the author of our emotions. Now, they get distorted from time to time, and people try to walk by their emotions, and that's not walking by faith. But in the whole thing, I mean, when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, it came from on high. Mary just was the holder of this package deal that came. So when she gave birth to God in the flesh. Amen? Come on, that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Jesus was and is God in the flesh. But when he healed and walked in this walk that we see in the Gospels, he was not functioning as God. He was functioning as a man in obedience to his Father. In fact, he even said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father tell me to do it. So if somebody thinks that Jesus was functioning as God, and then he turns around and he says, the works that I do, Tom Moulton, you do those same works. That would be pretty unfair if he did that as God, and then he tells a mere earth person, earthling, you're just an earthling, Tom. No, he tells a person, a man or a woman, you do the works that I do. In fact, greater works. Now, wait a minute. If Jesus did that as God, there's no way you could do it because you're not God and you never will be. Amen. So that tells me that he laid aside his deity. He laid that aside to function as a man. So when he healed people, he wasn't doing it as God. He was doing it as a man in obedience to his Father, all the while being still being deity. Don't you walk out of here and say that church doesn't believe or that pastor said that Jesus wasn't God. I never said that. Jesus was God in the flesh. But when he functioned here in the earth and walked this earth walk out that we see recorded in the Gospels, he did it laying aside his deity. Really, the actual rendering of that is he laid aside the privileges of deity and became flesh and blood, became a man and walked. And yet, he never sinned. How'd he do that? You know, if we read that in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is verse 15, that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet was without sin. I'll tell you something. If he was tempted in all points as we are, yet was without sin, if he was operating as God in the flesh, then he's operating in his omniscience, right? He knew everything. He knew when it was coming. He knew how the temptation would come. He knew exactly what was coming. And all knowing, if he was functioning as God, that wouldn't be fair to put me in that same place that, you know, I can go about and not sin, right? Well, you don't have to sin. The Bible never says you have to sin. You have authority in the name of the one who never did sin. And we have authority over the devil and we can resist the devil. Sure. But it wouldn't be fair if he was operating as God in the flesh and did all this stuff and then we're supposed to go and emulate that. You go lay hands on the sick. The works I do, you go do. Yeah, but no, there's no but about it. He did it as a man. You and I as a man or a woman can function in the word in the same way with his spirit operating through us here in this life. Praise God. So Jesus, if he was operating in healing people as God, would never know what it felt like to be weak. You tell me Jesus was weak? Jesus at one point got thirsty. Did he not? Sure he did. Do you suppose Jesus slept at night? Don't we find a place in the Word where he fell asleep? On a pillow? In a boat? Do you sleep when you're not tired? It's kind of hard to sleep when you're not tired. He was functioning as a man, guys. So as a man, he got tired. As a man, he would have needed to eat some food to sustain his physical flesh, use the restroom. He was a man. I know sometimes people don't think that, but, you know, I mean, he did. He had to bathe. I can't imagine our Savior not bathing. 40 days and 40, nobody was by himself, see? So when you go out in the woods, you're okay, you know. It's just that green film that forms, you know. Ay. But he functioned as a man. Now, I'm not saying that to bring Christ down to your level. Wait a minute. He chose to come down to our level and function as a man. And he called us his brothers. He called us his family. I mean, my goodness, you need to see that. Yes, he was and always will be God in the flesh, but he laid aside those privileges temporarily to give us, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, an example of how to walk. And ensample, the King James uses the word ensample. In other words, how to do it. How to function. So the answer to this question, did he need to ask these guys, do you believe that I'm able to do this? The answer is unequivocally, yes. Yes, he needed to ask that question. It was important. And so what was their answer? In verse 28, at the end of the verse, they say unto him, yea or yes, Lord. Now, if you'll notice, they answered yes. They believed that he was able to do this. They still weren't healed, were they? It's not enough just to believe that God can do something for you. This is where a lot of folks, they come to a certain point and then they stop there. Well, I believe God can. Hey, an agnostic, an atheist would say, well, if there was a God, I guess he could. Or the same way with an agnostic might say something similar to that. So for a Christian to say, well, you know, God, yeah, I believe God can, that's not good enough. I mean, it is necessary. It's like step one, yeah, you need to know that he can do this, but now you have to know that he will do it for you. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to know that your covenant rights include healing, include health and well-being. Amen. That's part of your salvation. That's part of your salvation package, if you will. Oh, yes. Amen. It's there. Hey, don't think that it's a big deal to say, well, I believe God can. The devils believe, the Bible says. And they're not getting anywhere with that. It's not enough just to say, I believe God can. You have to know in your heart that God not only can, not only is he able, he is willing to do what he already said in his word that he would do. Amen. Faith in the power of God is not the same as faith to receive. Go to Mark chapter 11. Faith in the power of God is not the same as faith to receive. This is where a lot of defeat ends up occurring, I think, in our own lives regarding not just healing, but other things. We have failed to learn how to receive. And I remember years ago when My dad went home to be with the Lord, and the devil told me, he said, don't ever preach on healing again because it didn't work for your dad. And I'm like, you know, I thought, and for a second, I mean, in about a second, okay, it was like, hold it. Just because my dad passed away, my dad had been healed for about 8 years of cancer, and then it came back on him. And he passed away from it. But the fact of the matter is, we're not going to judge whether healing is for today based on whether my dad got healed or not. Huh? If we start basing the message of salvation on whether Adolf Hitler ever received Jesus Christ as his Lord, which it would appear that he didn't, or Al Capone, who knows? You know, I don't know what these guys may have said in the last moments of their lives. I don't know. Okay? But if we judge salvation based on Anton LaVey, you know, the head of the church of Satan who died, well, he made a proclamation that Satan was his Lord. Well, you know, he didn't get saved, so I better not preach salvation anymore. That would be, what would you say to that? Stupid. Right? Come on. Are you serious? You're basing whether or not you're going to preach salvation based on one person over here that didn't receive? It was his choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. So I cannot base my preaching of the word of God on experience. I mean, if my experience lines up with the word, it's a nice testimony. But if it doesn't, this doesn't change. Okay? And so I'm, you know, and I made that decision in my life a long, long time ago. But having faith in the power of God is not the same as having faith to receive. Look at Mark 11, look at verse 24. Jesus said this. He said, therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire when you pray, believe what? That you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive. The word receive literally means to take. Believe that you receive or take what is yours. I've said it before. In fact, I said it in the last few messages in this series. Faith is aggressive. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't let the circumstance stop her. She had been fighting this bleeding situation in her body for 12 years. It was 12 years, yes? And, she was tired of the whole thing. She spent all her money. She wasn't getting any better. In fact, she was getting worse. So she spends all of her money. She's getting worse. And she's undoubtedly weakened over the course of time. Emotionally, she has been an outcast. And so emotionally, that has tested her resolve. People couldn't get near her. If you got near her, you had to be separate for 6 or 7 days and had to do all this ritual washing and cleansing. And it was almost like she was a leper, so people wouldn't go near her. She wasn't having fellowship with people. How would you like to be somebody that every time you went out somewhere, people see you and it parts like the Red Sea because here comes so-and-so? Kind of give you a complex, wouldn't it? Yeah. And it wouldn't be for, all the right reasons. And so I look at that and I think that woman pressed through. She pressed through. She was going to just try and grab a hold of the hem of his garment without anybody else knowing it. That's what we were talking about before. The crowd was thronging him. One version reads, the crowd was literally suffocating Jesus. There were so many people around pushing and shoving. And that's why when he goes, hey, who touched me? That's why the disciples thought, are you nuts? What do you mean, who touched you? I mean, get the picture. Here he is, and there's a bunch of people around him, a big crowd, and he's trying to make his way down the street. And all of a sudden he goes, hold it, somebody touched me. And the disciples are like, whoa, all these people? More than one Jesus touched you. But Jesus said no, because virtue had gone out of him. He knew somebody touched him. Touched him in faith. Interesting. She was just going to sneak out of there with her healing. You know? I mean, if she was caught out in public being where she was at, under the law, she could be stoned. We read that back in Leviticus. She could be stoned for being there. So she was just going to sneak a healing. Draw on the power of God. You know, she didn't even have the decency to ask if it was God's will. Did she? Come on, did she? Well, is it your will? No, she was aggressive. She pushed her way through that crowd. She's fighting people. And, she's probably got that thing down over her face, her shroud, whatever she had on to hide her face because people knew who she was. And she reaches up and finally gets a hold of the talit, the prayer shawl. More specifically, grabbed the fringes, the tzitzit, which to the Jew represented the totality of all that God is. It represented, it was 613 commands, the full weight of the law, which represented God's character, the totality of God. And when she reached out for that in faith, power cut loose. And it healed her. And she felt that she was whole of the plague. And Jesus goes, hey, who touched me? Now, she didn't ask if it was God's will. The power of God was on. I want to tell you something. You can get your healing if you go after the power of God with that kind of diligence. Even though you're tired, even though when you look at, she walked up and she's seeing this crowd. What does she do? She sees the crowd and she's like, oh, man. I'll wait until I can catch him when he's outside the city and maybe some of this crowd dies down a little bit and they let him get away and I'll catch him. No. The devil would have, loved to talk her out of, it's too busy. He's, don't bother the master. And that's what the disciples were telling people, don't bother him. He's needing to get out of here. But she pressed in and touched the hem of his garment. So, believe that you receive. Let me ask you this. What do you believe? It's not enough just to say, well, I believe in the power of God. I believe that God is able to heal. I believe that God is, you know, greater than sickness and disease. Those are all good things. But in order to receive, you're going to have to pinpoint what you actually believe and then go for it. Faith takes, brothers and sisters, faith takes. Faith does not reason. I mean, I can say this over and over, and I don't know of too many more ways I can say it, but we get into trouble when we start trying to reason all of this stuff out. You'd be much better off not trying to reason everything out, because when you're trying to believe God with your head, it does not work. That turns into pure reasoning, and then, you know, the enemy lies, and he'll try to tell you, well, now here, you can figure all this out. Let me say this. You're never going to figure God out. Not that he doesn't want you to have some insight into his character. That's why we have the word, but he is deeper and beyond. He's beyond your ability to search him out. The riches of Christ, what does the Bible say, are unsearchable. What does that mean? You'll never come to the bottom. You'll never figure it out. Just when you think you've got it figured out how he's going to bring that money to you. You know, I know. I mean, I know how this is going to happen. I'm not saying the Lord couldn't give you a word, and maybe from time to time he may do that once or twice in your lifetime. But too much of the time, people get it figured out how it's all going to work, And you put God in this little box that you've got all packaged up based on your understanding. And then when it doesn't happen that way, the face changes. And now you're sad because it didn't turn around like you thought it was going to turn around. Well, okay, hold on a minute. The problem is we get into that reason thing. We start using our mental faculties, and that's not faith. Need to renew your mind so that your mind will stop arguing with what the scripture says. So believe that you receive and you shall have it. Faith in the power of God is not faith to receive. Okay? And listen, it's not like you're twisting God's arm to get him to heal you either, by the way. But here's the other part of all of this process. He's not going to receive for you. You're going to have to learn how to receive. Well, isn't that what you're trying to teach us tonight? Yeah, let me have those keys. Just toss them to me. I said, I need to have those keys. And you tossed them to me. Well, what's the problem with that? I didn't receive it. What's a guy called that runs patterns on a football team? And he turns and what's he called? A receiver. A quarterback. Yeah, right, okay. That's a hunchback, actually. No. A receiver. He's a receiver. If she's going to give me something, I have to receive it. If I don't, she's not going to stuff it down my throat. Now, you want to do that with keys. She's not going to stuff it in my pockets. She's going to go, here, take the keys, genius. You know what I'm saying? And God is just holding out his power to us to say, receive it. Just receive it. Here's the first thing that people do. How? Because you're right here. You're trying to figure out how you can receive. And it's not from there. It's from here. I think we all need to put your hand out here like this. That's your stick shift. Throw it into neutral. You know what neutral is? It's in the middle. It's not in a gear. It's in neutral. You need to learn to put your gear in neutral regarding your mind. Yeah, but God gave me a mind. Yes, and you're supposed to renew it, and that mind should not usurp your spirit. And too much of the time, people are being led by their minds and not their spirit. I have found in my life, I broke my toe at Camp Victory years ago. We were up there, and Austin was young, and I had on some sandals, and I don't know, my toe got hung up on the rug, and just snapped it. Yeah, I know, it wasn't very comfortable. I'm like, oh, man. And I'm looking, and that thing's getting bigger, and by the end of the day, it was just as puffed up and black and blue as can be. And I went and talked to the nurse that was there, and she looked at it. She said, yeah, you remember that? Come on, shake your head, yeah, because you were the only other one other than the nurse. I wasn't going around, look at my toe. You know, I wasn't doing that. But it hurt, and I was limping. And that night, went to bed, and we prayed, she and I. And I believed I received my healing, and I just thought, you know what? I'll receive it. I don't have time to try to figure out how. If I do that, I know good and well it isn't going to work. So let's just go to bed. So we did. Got up in the morning. You remember this? Yeah. I'm just make sure that you're on the same page so that people don't think I'm making up some evangelistic story where I'm stretching the truth. No. The fact is I got up, I looked down, and I go, oh, my goodness. I said, Ann, look it. My toe was perfect. It wasn't swollen. It wasn't black and blue. Totally healed. I went and showed the nurse. And it's not like you could see a little line there of bruise yet. It was, so I thought, okay, now here's the real test. So I reached down, grabbed it a little bit, kind of gingerly now. Oh, you great man of faith, you know. Hey, man, that's my little toe. And I was like, that thing was broken. I saw it. I never saw my toe look like that before. Oh, my gosh. And so I reached down, touched it a little bit, and I'm like, I remember they were sitting on the bed, and I was like, it's not even sore. So I got bold, and I kind of moved it around a little bit. It's like, it's not even sore. And then I did this, and then I did this, and I'm like, I'm healed. Totally healed. How did that happen? I threw my mind into neutral. I wasn't going to try to understand how it could happen. I'm just saying, you've got to come to that place where the fact is you try to figure it out. I don't know enough about anatomy and what needs to take place and this, that, or the other. Besides that, God's the healer. So we did it. And it's almost like I could care less attitude. I went to bed that night, and I was like, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to bed. I'm just going to go to sleep. And we did. And praise God for the healing. So believing you receive involves not letting your head talk you out of what God is wanting to do. You need to give him a pathway for that healing to manifest. And that means stop it. Stop with the head. Now, I had a lot to do with it. She could have been believing like that. But if I was at the place where I'm going, oh, yeah, okay, I agree with you, Ann. I agree with you. And underneath I'm going, there's no way. I just don't. There's no way. Okay? I was the deciding factor in that deal. Here we had the enemy pushing me. Here we had the power of God ready to manifest. And what am I? I'm the deciding witness. Which one am I going to go with? I believe you. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Yeah, but. Shut up. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And the more you tell that rat to shut his mouth, you know, Jesus, hey, you want scripture for that? Huh? Mark chapter 1, you're right there. Come on, go. Mark chapter 1. This isn't even in my notes, but we're giving it to you anyway. Verse 34, Jesus healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Suffered, that little phrase, suffered not the devils to speak, meant he told them to shut their mouths. Jesus said, shut up. I've all said this, you know, because the kids hear it and they're like, and Pastor Dan said we can say shut up only to the devil. Jesus told them to shut up. Yes, he did. Amen. So faith is aggressive, guys. Faith is aggressive. And when you're standing and believing, we're going to go here next week. I'm just going to stop right there tonight just because faith is aggressive. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. When you're standing and believing, time tries trust. Time tries trust. In other words, over a period of time when you see no visible change, your trust is challenged. And you have to be persistent, you have to persevere, you've got to hold fast to your confession of faith, you need to stand on and in the Word, you need to deal with the thoughts that are all swirling about this isn't working, this isn't going to work, this isn't, no. I'm going to tell you something, it's a fight. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not a lightweight thing. This is a serious challenge. The enemy's trying to mess with your life, and you are told to fight the good fight of faith. Hold fast. Yeah, yeah, amen. So it's definitely a fight. What are you going to do? If you want to win, you're going to have to fight the fight. And we fight, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Now, how do those weapons develop in you? Through that word right there. You got to hear the word for faith to be built in you. Jesus didn't come along and go, well, you know, I'm just going to heal you. I'm just going to take my faith and heal you, or I'm just going to pour the power of God on you, man, and heal you. He asked him a question. The blind men, and they believed. And then Jesus laid his hands on them, and they were healed. But they made a statement of what they believed. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that we are people that will, oh, we're going to continue to dig into receiving from you and not being in that place where we're constantly trying to figure out everything with our heads. And I praise you tonight and bless you tonight. Tom, we couldn't figure out how in the world you were going to be healed. And I know for a fact, your little wife right here, she's not the little wifey, okay? I'm far enough away from her if I say that. But your wonderful wife, when you were on that machine and you were on, you know, like the doctor, he just, smart aleck. No way. Yes way, buddy. I remember that. I mean, it was serious stuff. Now, God gets the glory, not Rosie, but the fact is, when all of the circumstances were against you, that woman didn't bend. And again, you needed somebody who would stand. And praise God, you're here. That was a bad deal. And but God is the healer, and so we praise him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor, when it doesn't work, how do you deal with that? You know, I've laid hands on a lot of people that were not healed. But one thing I have learned, I don't blame God. And you don't somehow try to spiritualize the thing and say, well, God had a purpose in taking my dad home. He needed another engineer in heaven. No. No. That's not right. Or like when these people were tragically killed in that plane crash with the OSU basketball team, and God needed 10 cowboys in heaven. That's a lie. And God needed 10 more angels or something. You know, you're hearing all sorts of stuff. People don't turn into angels when they die. So the fact is, you know, let's just call it what it is. And when people know Jesus in their home, hey, man, does anybody have a little can of aerosol? That's your life. Gone. It's over. So we praise God for eternity with Jesus. No more worries, no more pains, no more sorrow, no more any of that stuff. The shortest thing we're doing is right here in this earth right now. This is the shortest thing we'll ever do. It's our life. And we praise God. We're going, one day we're going home to be with the Lord forever. And yes, sir. Yeah.
He saves us, and then all of a sudden, the kingdom of heaven loses its value. We, you know what I'm saying? We don't value eternity. Now we're still trying to save ourselves, and he saved us.
It's already done.
We end up going, or we go, you know, whenever we go, it's God's, you know.
Yeah.
It's God's plan.
It's, we're so going.
Take us to heaven. You know, don't get me wrong. I know we can go too early.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to do that.
Right.
And we don't want to give our lives to the enemy either.
Right.
But it's so amazing how we just we don't value it.
Christians get scared of going home.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I hope I'm not stepping on your toes when I say that, but. You know, we talk about heaven and we're hallelujah, we're believers, and oh, you know. So I'm like, wait a minute. We're not going to give in to the fear of death. We are believers. Yeah, it's heavy. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you tonight and thank you, Lord God, that you are our Savior. We worship and adore you, Lord God. We thank you for all the price that's been paid for us to walk in health. You paid the price so we would not have to go to hell for eternity. I mean, that is forever, and we're not going there. We're going to spend eternity with you. We're spending eternity in total bliss. I mean, no sorrow, no sickness, no pain, not just beautiful, wonderful, better than we could ever imagine here in this earth. This earth looks, I mean, yeah, it's a pattern after heaven, I know, but there's no sin up there, and there's a curse here. And we're redeemed from that curse down here. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for a revelation, Lord God, regarding receiving from you. And Lord, we'll be those people that will take a hold of what's ours and walk in that in the name of Jesus. And resist trying to figure it out. Thank you for the miracle power of God flowing in our lives tonight. We thank you for that, sir. We bless you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you, sir, in advance. We thank you in advance for Sandy's healing. We call Sandy whole and well. We call her able to function with no lingering effects from this stroke. She is the redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she has an excellent night's rest tonight, Jerry too. Lord God, peace over the family, peace of course over Sandy and Jerry. We just thank you, Lord God, that with the stripes that were laid on Christ's back, Sandy is the healed, and we do declare that over her tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I praise you and give you glory tonight. Lisa's mom and dad are traveling back from Michigan, Lord, on Friday, and we do agree in Jesus' name for their safe travel. We thank you that you never leave and never forsake your kids. So again, we're not going to ask you to pray, be with them. You already said you wouldn't leave them. I know that's revelation to some, but not to us. But he's there. And Lord, I thank you for their safe travel, that their vehicle runs perfectly. And devil, you're bound from their path. You'll not interfere with their trip home in any way, shape, or form. Thank you, sir, for their safe arrival back here. In Jesus' name, we do agree. Thank you for it.